Welcome, subjects, to today's, this week's Majesty podcast with Her Royal Highness Kinsey Schofield. I bow down to you.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Your Majesty Christo Fufas, oh my goodness. And what a view you have behind you. What a fantastic view.
It's my little London pied-a-terre. I just pop in there now and then. I stay a bit cold now and then as well, but nice artwork. I've got a couple of the bits on eBay.
Oh, nice artwork, because Harry and Meghan says it's racist. But all right, let's move on.
Yeah, well, of course, everything's racist. I mean, I think the clouds above Buckingham Palace, as we said last week, they're too white. They're way too white for my liking. So definitely some racism there, without a doubt. Those colonial clouds, we call them here in the UK.
Awesome.
I have to say, last week, you and I on the Majesty podcast, where we were spilling the Majesty, we were talking about some of the beauty treatments. How did we get onto beauty treatments? Do you remember?
We were talking about the Kate effect, which, was all over the news this week with her Zara earrings, but the Kate effect and how things sell out with whenever Kate buys them, wears them, uses them, and how we expect that Charlotte will have a similar influence on fashion and beauty. And first of all, we basically sold out Frownies because of our glowing endorsement of Frownies.
Yes.
You messaged me yesterday saying you were shopping for Elizabeth Arden, so I just assumed we were doing a self-care situation.
So now, for anyone who's listening along, describe what you've got. A face mask on, haven't you?
I do. It's an aloe vera face mask, and it's tingling my skin, and I'm feeling pretty good. And then I just colored my roots, so we're looking at some wet hair, but, you know, you got to freshen up every once in a while.
Oh, it's the Phantom of the Opera.
It's truly, truly, yes, yes, it
it's
is.
It's like a white mask, which is trying to stay on your face. Like, you're a bit bedraggled in your hair, I won't lie. And what is that? Is that a fleece dressing gown you've got on?
This is a black sheep jacket. See, here's the black sheep. It's warm and wonderful. This is their Princess Diana inspired, you know, because Diana loved the sweater.
Right. Black sheep, though? I think that's problematic.
Shut up.
Did you deliberately choose that, Kinsey? Black sheep? Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. That is institutional. I mean, why don't you just call yourself Lady Susan Hussey and be done with it?
She's back to work. Good for her.
She's back. No, but she's not with Camilla anymore, is she?
Not officially. I think she's officially still in the fold, but it was the Princess Royal Anne who asked her to step in for her at an event. You know, I don't think that she's ever going to be assigned at a certain place all the time the way she was before. And she shouldn't be. I mean, she's worked for free for 60 years. She's a woman in her 80s. She should just do whatever she feels like getting up and doing that day.
Let's remind people who may not be aware that Lady Susan Hussey was, of course, the lady-in-waiting who got into all sorts of trouble. Yeah, asked Ngozi Fulani when she was at a reception at Buckingham Palace, which Camilla was hosting, where she came from. Ngozi Fulani is a black woman, and asked her where she's from, asked her where she's really from, and was accused of all sorts of terrible, terrible acts of racism as a result of that. Because, of course, nowadays, if you misspeak, say something a little bit wrong, you are a terrible, terrible racist.
Or you're deaf, or you have hearing problems.
Yeah. But Ngozi Fulani, of course, extremely traumatized about that, so traumatized that she had to only restrict her appearances to BBC Breakfast, Good Morning Britain, Talk TV, Sky, GB News, LBC, and any other platform that would take her. So traumatized was she had to limit her media to that. And okay. Now, as you know, I am running a personal campaign on my Talk TV show, Ngozi Fulani for Strictly. And if that doesn't happen, I will be very, very upset. And I think that both her and Lady Susan Hussey will be the perfect signings for this year's Strictly Come Dancing. Why not have them? Just have a dance-off. That's the way to solve everything, right?
That
is your mask. Is your mask slipping, babes?
It's slipping a little bit, yeah. And I got to keep it on because I don't have any makeup on under here. And that's the real terror. That's the real Phantom of the Opera. So tell me about your, you said it was harder than you expected to find your Elizabeth Arden cream. Do we think that that is the Prince Harry effect?
Yes. Well, of course, as you know, Elizabeth Arden is mentioned quite a lot in the book Spare. Should we remind ourselves of the moment Elizabeth Arden is mentioned in the
Absolutely.
Book Spare?
I don't think that we should ever go a day without reminding ourselves.
This is that he had had a terrible time with his todger. Basically, he had chosen to put Elizabeth Arden on it. Hadn't actually spoken about it to William and Harry, but to William and Charles, this was whilst at the dinner prior to William's wedding. And there is a particular section where he speaks about the fact that he applied Elizabeth Arden. My penis, he says, I was horrified to discover my nether regions were frost-nipped as well. This was after he'd been on an expedition somewhere particularly cold. While the ears and cheeks were already healing, the todger wasn't. It was becoming more of an issue by the day. I don't know why I should have been reluctant to discuss my penis with Pa, of course, being Charles, or all the gentlemen present. My penis was a matter of public record, and indeed some public curiosity, he writes. The press had written about it extensively. There were countless stories in books and papers, even the New York Times, about Willie and me not being circumcised. Mummy had forbidden it, they all said. And while it's absolutely true that the chance of getting penile frostbite is much greater if you're not circumcised, all the stories were false. I was snipped as a baby.
Overshare.
Bit of overshare, bit of him perhaps talking a bit much about William's penis, because of course he is all about the privacy, isn't he? Now he does go on, and I can't find this bit because there's so many referrals,
there's so many references to his wang.
Penis. I'm trying to find the bit in the book where he talks about applying Elizabeth Arden to his penis. He does talk about Mummy's funeral, because then they go on and talk about the wedding in the Abbey, where there was memories of Mummy's funeral. More than 3,000 bodies lay beneath us and behind us in Westminster Abbey. This is,
oh my gosh, this is all so close to the talk of his wang.
Yeah, he does. Then it goes on. Hard to think of Mummy in the realm of death. But then he says, between those thoughts of Mummy and death and my frost-nipped penis, which again is such a bizarre thing to write, he then goes on to talk about how he had gone to the doctors. But prior to going to the doctors, he, of course, decides to apply Elizabeth Arden to his todger. And at that moment, he says that it was softened by Elizabeth Arden when he went to see a doctor. Now, prior to that,
we spend half of our podcast reading Spare. Let's get on with this.
Sorry. Okay. So I kind of get engrossed because there's so much. Penis. Okay.
I've never seen somebody love Spare as much as Christo.
Let me go to
the
penis part that we're interested in. Sorry.
Okay.
I kind of forgot that we were doing a podcast. I am sorry. it's not Majesty. It's Majesty. My penis was oscillating between extremely sensitive and borderline traumatized. The last place I wanted to be was Frostnipistan. I've been trying some home remedies, including one recommended by a friend. She urged me to apply Elizabeth Arden cream. I found a tube. My mum used to use that on her lips. You want me to put that on my todger? He said to the friend. I found a tube, and the minute I opened it, the smell transported me through time. I felt as if my mother was there in the room. So I had a bit of trouble because I thought, well, in honour, I am a massive Diana fan, as you know. love Diana. My mother met Diana, gave flowers and did flowers for Diana. So she's, almost was a family friend. I decided, in honor of Diana, to get a tube of Elizabeth Arden cream. Can you see
I
that
can. It's very clear. Yes. How much was that?
there? I think it was about £20, £25, something like that. And she, I mean, he is absolutely right. You open it and
Are you transported?
you do get that familiar smell. Well, I've had an idea,
Okay.
Kinsey, and
Are we time traveling?
we are going to time travel to a point. I'm going to do this for journalistic purposes. I'm going to apply some Elizabeth Arden cream live during our podcast to my penis. I think it's the only way to know whether it has a positive or negative effect, firstly. But secondly, I want to be closer to Diana.
You're doing
And I
this for journalism.
feel that this will bring me closer to the late Princess of Wales. So should I do that now?
Okay. What did your husband say about this?
I haven't actually told my husband that I will be applying Elizabeth Arden 8-hour cream to my penis, but I'm going to do it now. So,
Oh my God. We're
oh,
just.
that familiar smell. It's like Diana's in the room.
No,
You
it's
see, so I've
not.
got some on
Wow,
my finger,
it's see-through. Huh.
but it's sort of a bit see-through. Yeah, it is actually that sort of pinky flesh color, actually.
Ah.
And
Does it like
okay.
tick does it tingle or anything?
No, it doesn't actually. It's sort of got a bit of a chemically smell, and it's a very, very familiar smell, though. It actually is. He is right.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a little bit slimy, like Vaseline. Do you see what I mean? So I'm going to put some now. I wore tracksuit bottoms below the table so it was easy for access. Excuse me a second. Gonna go down. One second. Oh, there we go. Oh, I've made contact, and I'm just rubbing it gently. More fun than I thought. Excuse me a moment. Just gonna rub it in on my penis.
So, are you going to be giving us like updates throughout like other
Yeah,
stories, or are
I'm
you
trying to
just
give it a
giving us
good. Hold on, I'm just trying to give it a good coating at the
are you
moment.
giving
Hang
us
on.
an initial feel like reaction, or are we going to go like through like random
You know
updates?
what? I'm sorry. I did. I don't want to brag or anything, but I don't think I used enough. I think I need a bit more.
Oh
Step a bit more on.
my gosh.
I don't think that was enough. Hang on one second. Just go back down. It's going again. Oh,
This self-care
oh.
episode has taken a whole new meaning.
It's taken a turn, hasn't it? There we are. Right. Oh, now there we go.
Reaction? Are you oscillating?
There is a little bit of a tingle, I won't lie. A tingle sort of bordering on a slight, I won't say burn,
Oh
but I can
no.
certainly feel that there's something on there. Definitely, yes. But do you know, more importantly, feel that
No.
Diana's in the room. Diana is in the room. I'm holding the Elizabeth Arden. Diana, are you there? Diana! Diana, are you there? She's not here. She's
No.
not here.
No. You think that's
You
just
think
like
I
a
need to apply more for her?
No, I don't think so. I think she's busy in Montecito telling Harry and Meghan how they should be vindictive next. Oh my gosh. So what is your ultimate review? Is it 5 stars? How are you feeling about the Elizabeth Arden cream?
Well, it's not unpleasant. It
Oh my
doesn't feel
gosh.
unpleasant. I mean, what would be more preferable if I really wanted to take this experiment to the next level is, and I don't know how keen I am to do this, I'll have to think about it and talk to my husband, because I think it would be actually more preferable if I had some sort of penis condition.
No.
And then apply the Elizabeth Arden cream to see whether it has those real
Healing
healing
powers.
powers.
Yeah.
Because, I am putting it on a fully functioning, healthy penis
Right, that's
at the
true. So how are you supposed to know?
I think I'm sort of more of a control experiment at the moment. So either I need to, and can you remind people of our email?
Yes, it's Majesty, spelled like the podcast, no Y, T, podcast at gmail.com.
Right, because if anyone has a bit of a jippy penis at the moment, and they are prepared to be the experiment where I am the control, they're the guinea pig, then, you know, I've got the Elizabeth Arden, I've got very nimble fingers, prepared to travel. You could be our experiment, and we could see whether it heals something. But at the moment, it doesn't feel unpleasant. I won't lie. I feel a tiny bit moist and greasy.
Oh.
But, I mean, to be honest, that's just like a normal evening.
That's a typical Tuesday?
It really is.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so let's jump into some of these stories. You're calling it the coronation bleat. Explained to the Americans listening.
You don't want to talk about my penis anymore. Oh, all right. However much we've spoken about my penis, we've still spoken about Harry's more.
Let's just make that clear, for sure. 100%.
Yes. I thought we could have. So here in the UK, and you're probably familiar with it there in the States, transatlantic, we have Coronation Street,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, the world's longest running evening soap opera. It might be the longest running one full stop. So it started in 1960. So 63 years
this
soap has been running. It's now on five times a week, started off being on twice a week. And so Coronation Street, it is an institution. But Coronation Street, even though it's been running for 63 years, it still feels like it hasn't been running as long as the dilemma as to whether Harry and Meghan are coming to the actual coronation. That question has gone on longer. So I wondered whether we should start calling Coronation Street, in honour of Coronation Street, Harry and Meghan's constant speculation on whether they're coming to the coronation, the Coronation Bleat. And this week's Coronation Bleat is around whether it is Meghan or indeed Harry that are the ones that either want to come or not come. Because that you hear different reports. Some reports are saying it's Meghan that really wants to come, Harry doesn't want to. There are others saying, no, it's Harry that wants to come, Meghan needs to stay at home. What do you make of that, Kinsey?
Well, I mean, I've heard this week, and actually, I'll get her permission in the future before I want to get her permission before I say who told me. But I did hear this week that it's Harry that's hesitant to go because he didn't expect that there would be so much negative feedback about the book. And it's Meghan that is fighting to go because she feels like they need that proximity to the royal family for their brand. And then just a few hours ago, Daily Mail reporting that the King and Prince William will not give Harry an apology, the apology he's demanding before he agrees to fly to Britain to attend the event. And I thought this sentence was interesting because ill will is still boiling over in the family. And so, you know, I have heard it's Harry that doesn't really want to go. Meghan wants to go. But I initially thought it would be Harry that wanted to go due to duty. And Meghan would reluctantly go because she sees the value in proximity to the royal family. What's your take?
Well, that's interesting. Well, first, it's interesting that sources are saying that there will be no apology forthcoming because, of course, last week we were discussing how apparently Harry and Meghan would be prepared to come, but they would want to have a sit-down conference with William and the King and have their grievances aired again and hopefully get an apology again.
Yeah.
And we were talking about whether there would need to be an NDA signed for that because, of course, there's a massive likelihood that can end up in their next book. So I would not be surprised. Harry doesn't need it in as much as Harry will always be the son of a king.
Yes.
He'll always have been the grandson of the late queen. You know, that will never change. He will always be Diana's son. So in a way, even though I think that she is the driving force behind their brand, he doesn't need to reinforce the brand because he is the brand in many ways.
His DNA, yeah.
She does. Mm-hmm. She does, because she is married into the brand. And in order for her relevance to remain, and perhaps she realizes that in order to elevate his relevance, that they do need to dip their toe into things now and then. They do need to turn up at things now and then. And of course, the more cynical among us might also say it's because it's content as well. Oh, yeah. The more royal things they go to, the more racism that apparently happens they've got to complain about.
Somebody throws a tomato, it's victimhood. Somebody boos, we are the victims. It reinforces that narrative.
Racist Britain. It can only be racism as to why we are being booed. You know,
You see that Lizzie, how do you say her last name? I'm very careful about it. Lizzie
Cundy.
Cundy. Okay. Did you see that video of her with Meghan Markle circulating on social media pretty aggressively this week, where she's interviewing her on a red carpet and Meghan's just talking about how great Britain is and how it's the most wonderful country, and everybody's like, wait, we thought it was racist. So interesting that video has resurfaced. I do really quickly want to acknowledge some of the commenters on Instagram about the coronation. Mary Wahlberg says, I would be shocked if they did not attend. My observation is as follows. They are both narcissists, thinking that they are above everyone else. They crave the spotlight, think others are inferior, and lastly, they lack empathy for others. It's always been always about them. I have loved following the royals over the years and have such admired the Queen. She was a class act. My heart went out for her when they wanted to leave the royal family and start anew in US. That must have been devastating for the Queen. I could never have done that to my family. Do you have a response to that?
Only that I think I need to get a wipe, because I am starting to get a little bit of discomfort. I don't think it was that comment that brought
on. Okay, okay, good. Okay. Do you really want to? If you want to go grab something, I will just read off one or two more of these comments.
Do you mind? I'm just gonna go and get a wet wipe.
Not at all. Go live your best life.
I'll be back in 2 minutes. I'll be back at Buckingham Palace in just a moment.
Thank you. So here's another really interesting comment on Instagram. NYC Royal Watcher says, although I don't know how either of them can show their faces after everything that's just happened, they, or just Harry, will be there. He is the king's son. Do you think she would miss the opportunity to play dress up and be a part of history, including being in the photographs? Her dress is already made and her tiara is on standby. He needs more material for future books. They need to retain that royal connection. At least one of them will be there. If anything, it will prove what shameless hypocrites they are. As if his family and Britain are so damn toxic, why return? And then my royal account commented, in my opinion, they will not go. I think that to their royal family-hating fan base, it will prove their blatant hypocrisy. I think they went before to the Platinum Jubilee and funeral because they would have looked like complete a-holes if they hadn't gone. Now, with all that has been said by them since the Queen's passing, I don't think they can attend such an event while being relegated to spectators. For sure, the wife is not attending. Harry is debatable. And then
do you know what I think? Have you finished that comment? No. Do you know what
really quickly I'll say, I thought this was funny. Danielle Mason from BBC, ITV and Sky. She's a guest presenter on Ideal World TV. She is Miss Mason Cleaning. She commented, if they go, they are so cheeky.
They are cheeky, but I 100% think that they will. Yeah. 100%. Who would turn down an invite to the coronation? And also, their brand, that they are the victims rather than perpetrators, relies on them looking like they take the higher ground. So therefore, of course, they will go without a shadow of a doubt. I have no doubt in my mind that they will be there. And yeah, they may be relegated, but I think, again, the royal family are getting quite savvy to it now. Yeah. So I think that they will probably be, you know, third row, that sort of thing, you know, close enough that they are within the fold, but not so close that they look like they're working royals. Yeah. I think they'll probably get that balance right, but 100% they will be there. 100%.
Bring on the candlesticks. Okay, so reports over the week circulate.
I know what you mean by that, right? I know what you mean. Because, of course, there was, if anyone doesn't know what you mean by the candlestick, this was because there is it a conspiracy theory that Meghan
No,
was put
Meghan
behind?
was, I mean, it's not, it's an observation. Meghan was behind a candlestick at the Queen's funeral. I remember sitting there watching the funeral and us being like, did they put her behind a candlestick? I mean, it was like such a funny revelation. But, you know, reports this week saying that Meghan is upset over South Park. Meghan denied it. So we are hearing from them more often. I honestly thought that they would ignore some, they ignore some things and they don't ignore others. It's interesting to watch them come out over certain things.
Well, firstly, you're right to make the candle connection because actually the candle is referenced in the South Park episode. I'm not sure whether you noticed,
I
but
did. Oh yeah.
as they arrived at the funeral of the Canadian Queen that apparently died, they walk past a candle identical to the one that Meghan was sat behind for the television coverage, which I'm sure is a complete coincidence. So yeah, we've heard that they are distressed about it, but that any idea of legal action is not going to happen this week. Do you think that that is a fair assessment of where they stand on it? That they're obviously upset, they're gagging to do something about it, but perhaps again, the protection of their brand is stopping them from doing so.
Well, it's interesting because I read, you know, I've read highlights of their response. They say it's baseless. The reports of them looking into legal action is baseless and boring, but I don't really feel like that's necessarily denying that you looked into legal action. You could say the report is baseless and boring, but you know, is the translation, we did look into it and our attorneys said there's no way we can sue South Park. And then actually the South Park creators were on a podcast this week laughing about how often they've been sued and how they actually pursue people. Like it's a challenge to see if they'll, that's why they went after Scientology. That's why they went after Tom Cruise. So they pick on people that are sue happy. They don't care. They don't fear litigation. So it, you know, funny that they go after Harry and Meghan. You did pull some of South Park's best moments. Did you want to read some of those off?
Well, I mean, we have got a few more of them for any that may have been missed. And of course, the seven most brutal moments, the candle has been pointed out. Harry's memoir, of course, called Wah! Such a good name for it as well. I didn't realize that there was a Michelle Obama reference as
Yeah,
well, that.
they say that she's a she bothers her or something on her profile at the branding office, botherer of the former first lady, and that's because there is a story that has circulated on the internet for years about, I mean, I think it's clear that Meghan wants to be closer to the Obamas, but there was a story that circulated on the internet for years, and whether it's true or not, I don't know. So I should use the word allegedly. Meghan showed up at a Michelle Obama event and wanted to go backstage to speak with her, and she was denied. It was a book event or something like that. And so I think
He
that
wants
that
to
is where this stems from.
get everywhere. You're right, First Lady botherer, and of course, let's not forget that the management company that Meghan is alleged to have signed to in the South Park is called Cumhammer, which is nice. The TV interviews are
I think this is the
gone.
first episode of the podcast where I'm gonna have to say that it's not necessarily children friendly. Like the last ones, I've been like, oh, this is an adult content, and this is the first one where I'm like, oh, I better just be safe. Gonna mark this one as adult content.
Well, I mean, I
18
won't
and
lie.
over.
I have got I feel like I've got petrol penis at the moment because it is still burning a little bit at the moment. So, you know, burn, baby, burn. I've got a dicky inferno. So, that is going on at the moment. I don't know how he could have continued to. I think Elizabeth Arden cream, by the way, is amazing when you put it on a spot. It's one of those cure-alls. If you've got a blemish, you stick it on, and then within a few hours it's gone. It is amazing. I would still caution about putting it on your cock. So that's an update, by the way, while we're talking about that. Harry's frostbitten penis, while we're on the subject, is referenced in South Park.
You see it, as a matter of fact, yes.
And Harry, this is an outrage. We will just see how he deals with my blue penis when defending his wife against, well, various things, as always. And magazine covers.
His privacy.
Tell it again.
He's defending his wife from the privacy.
Yeah, privacy. The Worldwide Privacy Tour as well, which, by the way, the Worldwide Privacy Tour, those three words, who knew that just three simple words could be so scathing about a Worldwide Privacy Tour?
Hilarious.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And, of course, we've seen in the States as well this week that their popularity has gone even lower as a result of the
They are lower than Prince Andrew. Lower than Prince Andrew now.
And he was friends with a nonce.
Yeah, he was friends with a pedophile.
Yes, he was friends with a nonce. And still, their popularity. They will be looking at that and they will be absolutely in pieces about it. And that's why the coronation will be so important.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though they're saying that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to say that Meghan is not in a good place right now. Okay. All right.
Yeah, don't believe it. Baseless and boring claims they're saying when it comes to this legal action, as you have said yourself. But I just think that they will be absolutely screwing. Neil Sean was the expert that said that they would be considering legal action, casting
Fox News wrote it, like published that. So I feel like Fox News was confident enough to, you know, I just don't think Fox News is the kind there. I don't think of a tabloid when I think of Fox News, you know?
And of course, you know, let's be honest. I'm doing a segue here, babes. Let's be honest. The merciless ribbing of royal life, ex-royal life, is something that Meghan could have never expected, because as we know, Meghan had absolutely no idea how to curtsy.
Right.
She had no idea of royal life. When she sat outside Buckingham Palace for that photograph all those years ago, the building that is behind me, I mean, she thought that was government-assisted housing. Many ways it is.
Yeah, she just thought it was a Walmart.
She thought it was a Walmart. She didn't know that she was outside Buckingham Palace. And now it turns out that the other thing she had no idea about was
Kate.
Kate and the wedding dress, where she accidentally, with having no idea about who Kate was, wrote a blog post all about her.
Right. But see, you know what kills me is this story started recirculating thanks to the Daily Mail. I sent you a Page Six article about it. Fox News did a write-up about it. But internet sleuths have been referencing this for years now. There's also a picture of Meghan in 2014 holding a magazine cover with Kate on it. So this is just another example of, you know, lying. I mean, she talks about how everybody's obsessed with Princess Kate's wedding, almost in a derogatory way, in the TIG post, and how she doesn't really relate to that. She felt like she would be a royal rebel. And so, it's just another example of Harry and Meghan lying. Fox News did another story this week about...
Because the lie is, of course, that in 2017, when she gave the interview...
She said she never Googled them. She didn't know anything about the royal family.
And then she doubled down on that during the Netflix interview, where she said she didn't know how to curtsy and all of this sort of...
Harry doubles down on it when he tells us that she didn't know who Prince Andrew was. She thought he was an employee holding the Queen's purse.
Yeah, that was what was written in spec. She then met the Queen and she thought, who is this kind old lady? I've never seen her before. That's not true. But I mean, that was the extent that they were going to. And now, as you are quite right, it was written in this blog that was written in 2014. She says that she was tired of hearing the endless conversation about the royal nuptials of Princess Kate, and that she was unlike most girls. She's writing about herself again. She was unlike most girls who dream of being princesses and instead was focused on She-Ra, Princess of Power. Now, I loved a bit of She-Ra when I was growing up, and I will not have her name taken in vain. Do you know who She-Ra is?
Yeah.
Yeah. He-Man's cousin.
From the cart, yeah.
Yeah, but She-Ra was the twin sister of He-Man. Oh, it was twin sister. I thought it was cousin. And a sword-wielding royal rebel known for her strength, as you said. And she continued, "We're definitely not talking about Cinderella here." So do you think that she is genuinely modelling herself on She-Ra, the royal rebel?
No, but I think it shows us that she has always envied Kate. I think it shows us that she always has had bitter feelings towards her. And there's another blog post that Fox News found on the TIG where she praises her father, talks about how he took her to all of these dance classes, ballet classes, and all the great fun, thick, yummy lunches they'd go to. It's a Father's Day post, just praising her father for all the hard work he did to you know, and that he gave her this wonderful life. And, you know, now she says this is a horrible man. She ate at the Sizzler salad bar, the $4.99 Sizzler salad bar growing up. When she's talking about these expensive Jewish delis in Beverly Hills, her dad took her to every Saturday after dance class in the blog. It's like, can you keep your story straight?
Also, as well, in the Netflix documentary, when they're sort of trying to frame her as someone who's so level-headed and down to earth, they talk quite a lot about how he used to take her to set all the time and how she would, because he worked as a famous lighting director. Did he win a Golden Globe for his lighting?
I thought it was an Emmy.
Also, he was quite prestigious at the time. Yeah. And she would go to set with him and she would get to know some aspects of the industry with him. So, I mean, that doesn't sound like a stay-away dad. That sounds like quite a good dad. Now, has he acted in the best way since at times? Has he been as thick as two short planks at times? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think that to spin, he's been quite stupid, which he was, to he's been a terrible father the whole way along, is unfair, it seems.
Absolutely. Well, I think that that's a good place to wrap, solely because my face is slipping and I am about to lose it.
And I still need to go and do another, a second wet wipe.
Oh my God.
Maybe even a full-on soap wash on my Elizabeth Arden adult.
A Willy
Rinse.
A nice little Willy Rinse. Okay, well, thank you so much for tuning in to Majesty. You can catch us right here every week. And
yes. How can people get in touch? Reminder, because we want to hear from you. If you want to say something to us, good, bad, or ugly.
I'm asking questions on my Instagram at Kinsey Schofield. So if you want to chat weekly with us, I'll ask questions there. MajestyPodcast@gmail is our email. MajestyPod on Twitter is our Twitter handle.
Yeah, we must check Twitter more often. I've been terrible at checking the Majesty Pod on Twitter. Thank you, Your Highness, Your Majesty, Kinsey Schofield. Thank you to the Right Honourable Elizabeth Arden for her help in making this production.
This
is Your Royal Highness Christo signing off from Buckingham Palace.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Bye from Kinsey and her face slipping.